Well, we are in an interesting passage of Scripture today. You know, one of the things that we've been doing here as a church is going through books of the Bible section by section. And I'm always fascinated by doing that because there are often times of Scripture that I end up having to teach that I think I would not have picked this. I would have just kind of skipped over this and gone on to the next one. But the neat thing about that is that it forces you to deal with and understand some of the things that you might be tempted to just move right on by. You know, this passage is, we are looking at evil spirits, demonic oppression. You know, it's one of those that it may not be the first place you'd want to go to. I was thinking, you know, this may be the day you've been reaching out to a friend for months and years, and they finally come to church, and then it's like, oh man, we're reading about demons today. What do we do with that? And when I first saw this text, I kind of had that feeling too. It felt like I needed to go into it a little bit more apologetic in the sense that I needed to explain why we're talking about these things. But it's been interesting for me just over the last couple months. I went to a business meeting in Alpharetta and was meeting some people, just happened to meet a lady, told her my name, what I did, and she just stopped and said, "Can I ask you something?" I said, "Sure, what is it?" And she begins to relate to me an experience that she had. I think she was living in Hawaii before she moved here, and said that she was working somewhere and there were just weird things happening. And the only category they had for it was that something demonic, there's something evil in this place. And out of desperation, they went and found basically like a witch doctor and called him in to do something. And so she's relating this to me, and she's like, "I don't know if this guy did anything. He took our money. I don't know if things continued or didn't." She's like, "I moved, so, you know, what happened? What was that? Do those things really happen? And if they do, what is the solution to them?" And so it's just fascinating talking to her. Even last week I mentioned I was doing a message, and we were going to talk about demonic possession, evil spirits, and just hearing from several different people that had weird experiences of things like this. And so just became apparent to me that there are people that experience things in life that they don't understand, they don't have a category for. And one of the things that we're going to see is that evil spirits are real. They are present. They are a reality that we have to deal with. So how do we deal with that? What do we make of it? You know, we could also talk about things that you've probably seen. I think everybody has. Maybe you haven't seen it, but you've seen clips of movies like The Exorcist. How many people have seen clips of that? Like, you maybe haven't watched it, but you saw enough. It, like, freaked me out that I didn't want to see anything else. We see things like that. The psychic industry, witchcraft, are a $1 billion industry in the United States. I knew it was gaining in prevalence, but I didn't realize it was that significant of an industry. Even looking into things like the Ouija board. This was patented in 1891. I was surprised to see that in different years, in 1967, Ouija board outsold Monopoly. Isn't that amazing? And so there's things in probably television shows. I can't remember some of the names of the ones that I saw out there. I think it was Ghost Hunters. Things like that that you see on TV and you may wonder, what is going on? Well, I would love to take that lady just through this passage of Scripture to talk about some of the things that Scripture informs us about the nature of evil and evil spirits. What we see is that evil is real, but it's overcome in Jesus. Evil spirits are real, but God provides us a way to escape it, a way to overcome it, and it's through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. We know that from other passages of Scripture, but we see it happening here in this passage. And so we're going to go through and talk about this. First thing I want you to see is that evil spirits are real. If you've read the Bible, you shouldn't be surprised by that. Evil spirits are real. Go back to the very beginning of the Bible. You see Adam and Eve, they are present in the garden, and Satan is there as well. Satan is the one that tempts them to disobey God. to walk away from it, what he calls them to do. Satan is the reason there's so much pain and hardship and rebellion in the world. We see it in the book of Job. Job is attacked by Satan. Also, just a couple verses where we see this happening in the New Testament, just so you don't think, hey, this only happens in the Old Testament. No, we see it in the New Testament. Just a couple verses. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Paul says, so we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. They're being hindered from going and visiting the Thessalonican church because of Satan. Jude 1:9 says, yet Michael the archangel, when he was disputing with the devil in a debate about Moses' body, did not dare bring an abusive condemnation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The reality of evil, the reality of Satan at work in the world, and the confrontation that God's people has with evil. We see it in Scripture. Maybe you have your own unique experience with it. You know, I would say in my life, I don't have a whole lot of experiences. I haven't seen demons and things like that, but there have been times where it just felt that we were under spiritual attack. I remember when we made the decision to replant a church, and this would have been like June of 16, I believe. I picked up a book on replanting, and as I was reading this book, one of the first things the guy said, hey, if you go to replant or plant a church, just expect hardship and difficulties and spiritual oppression. I thought, it doesn't happen. And it just, it felt like an all-out attack from that moment on. I remember shortly after reading that, we put our house on the market. We've been in that house 6 years, and nothing major had gone wrong. And that night, we're about to put our house on the market, and a mouse or rat just goes running through. And we're like, okay, I didn't expect that. We haven't seen that, and we're about to put our house on the market. Now we've got a problem to deal with. We had that. I got Lyme's disease shortly after that. I couldn't. Joint pain all over, second degree heart block, all this other stuff. We couldn't sell our house. We're in Raleigh. We're waiting for it to sell. We finally get a buyer, and it just seems perfect, and they do the inspection, and all kinds of stuff is going wrong. There are things spewing water that weren't spewing water, leaks and all kinds of problems, this, that, and the other. We had kids breaking arms, getting concussions. And it was so weird. I've never been through anything like that. And I remember one night, I'm not given to panic attacks or things like that, but there's one night where I just cannot sleep. It's just the weight of these things. And it's like, I don't know if it's just the weight of my own anxiety, but it feels like I'm being attacked. And I'm waking up, I'm praying, I'm binding demons and Satan. I don't even know if I agree with that theologically, but there are things going on in that moment, and it just felt like an attack on us. I've talked with other people that have experienced similar things. And sometimes it's hard to know where is the line. It's just your own anxiety, or this is a spiritual demonic attack. I'm not sure. But a lot of times, those kind of go hand in hand, our own internal doubts and disobedience and spiritual attack. We see here that there is evil in the world. These people are encountering that. They are seeing it. They're encountering and they're searching for ways of how to deal with it. And this is where we see Paul. Paul is there and he is ministering to people. Paul is bringing healing to people. People are being restored. We see that in the life and ministry of Jesus. He is bringing people back to health. He's bringing them back to healthy thinking. So there are some things unique with Paul here. We see Paul the apostle. He is going out and he's rebuking evil. And some people would look at this and be like, well, yes, Paul, he's an apostle. These are miracles and signs and wonders that are accrediting him as an apostle. I think there is something unique going on with that. But we also see Paul the apostle is doing what Jesus said his followers would do. Jesus gave his followers authority over evil, over spirits. And so Jesus' followers are going out ministering, and people are being healed and restored to fullness. So we see that happening in this passage. We also see that Paul is being contrasted with these seven sons of the Jewish chief priest. These guys, they go out to minister, and they're beaten down. Now, we see some things about them that it doesn't speak very highly of these guys. It says that they're itinerant. They're moving from place to place. That word is used in different passages to talk about kind of wanderers, people who are roaming back and forth, have very little grounding in anything. So they're itinerant. They're identified as Jewish. They're not identified as followers of Christ. And they're also self-identified as exorcist. They've given themselves that title. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see some of the prophets confronting evil, confronting evil spirits, but there's never a title that's designated as an exorcist. So there's not a position the Scripture designated that you need to have this person so that you can survive evil, so that you can overcome it. The solution has always been turn to God, trust Him, and follow Him. And so these guys are giving poor solutions at overcoming evil. We're going to talk about that more in a little bit. Actually, I think we have that verse on the screen. Do we have verse 16 on the screen? Maybe. I'll read it. It speaks to them. It speaks to these guys that are going out. And it says, "Then the man who had the evil spirit leapt on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them, so that they ran out of the house naked and wounded." These itinerant Ghostbusters are challenged and overcome. And let me tell you this, if you ever get in a fight and you run away naked and bleeding, you did not win that fight. Are you with me? I don't need to go into the Greek to tell you what happened here. They got whooped. When you flee in this manner, you lost the fight. You know, I was at a birthday party yesterday, and there were water guns, and I was watching one guy, and he's running around trying to get the kids, and he's completely soaked. I won't mention Dan's name, but he's just completely soaked. I thought, you lost that fight. There is not a speck of dry clothing on your body. You lost. And so we see something similar here. Evil spirits are real. And people try and find ways to overcome it. But the only way to overcome it is through Jesus. Jesus is greater than the evil. That's what we see in this passage. You know, James, book of James, it says, even the demons believe in God and shudder with fear. There's things that are going on here where the demons are recognizing truth more so than these sons of the high priest. They recognize that there's power in the name of Jesus. These demons know God is in charge. Now, they aren't submitting their lives to it, but they know who's in authority. They know, they recognize the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:10 says it, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. What Scripture teaches is that Jesus is the one that has authority over all things. He's the one that we seek when we need to overcome evil at work in the world. It's through Jesus. We don't need to fabricate other ways. We don't need to come up with some kind of ritualistic prayer that we'll just we utter and things go away. No, we turn to Jesus. We look to Him. We see that Jesus overcomes this. And in verse 20, isn't it neat? It says, in this way, the Lord's message flourished and prevailed. So this showdown between evil, Jesus triumphs, and it's His word that spreads. And just as an aside, church, we've been a season of talking about getting back to the Word of God, doing that on Sundays, but also in our small groups, being focused on God's Word. And we've been talking about being focused on God's Word, following what Jesus calls us to do, making sure we're being obedient to it. And I just, again and again, in the book of Acts, following Jesus and being in His Word just go synonymously with each other. They often follow each other. So just want to point that out. And as we have a renewed emphasis on being in God's Word and being obedient to it, just want to point that out, that we see it here again. Jesus is the solution. We trust Him. We follow His Word. You need to see that there's power in the name of Jesus. But this passage shows us something else as well. And that's that Jesus will not allow His name to be manipulated. His name's not manipulated. These people thought that, hey, just go and whatever Paul did, we'll do that, and we lock it in. We see that deliverance is through a relationship with Jesus. That's different than some kind of mechanistic formula. God calls us to have a relationship with him. A lot of times we'd rather just have a mechanistic connection, right? You say that word mechanism. You know, you think about, you came in this room today and there's a light switch over in that corner. It's a mechanism. You come in, you flip that switch, you flip it and the lights come on, right? So whoever was first in here today, probably Kyle coming in with the worship team, comes in, he flips the switch. Somebody else, my five-year-old can see that. Hey, you flip that switch and the lights come on. It's a mechanistic action, isn't it? You can repeat that over and over again. Well, they thought that the same thing happened with Jesus. You don't need a relationship with him. You just need to access that name. You just need to say it. And it's amazing that these demons speak truth. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? They recognize that these people don't have a true relationship, a true connection with Jesus. They're just kind of basically name dropping. You ever have friends that name drop? Or people you know that name drop? You know, you're talking about barbecue and go, oh, yeah, well, you know, I was talking with Aaron Franklin. Anybody know Aaron Franklin? Any barbecuers in here? I may not be speaking your language. Oh. Well, first of all, we're going to have to do some more barbecuing, all right? Aaron Franklin, he's a famous barbecuer. Does a master class on smoking brisket, you know? I might just say, well, hell, you know, hey, that chicken looks pretty good. But, you know, I was hanging out with Aaron Franklin the other day. And, you know, this is what he said. You name drop. Now, somebody would call me out and be like, Keith, watching a YouTube video does not mean you know Aaron Franklin. You know, maybe you're talking about infrastructure or something like that. Well, hey, I was talking to Joe Biden the other day, and, you know, he's got this infrastructure plan, and we're doing this, that, and, you know, right? And you're like, man, you don't know Joe. You hadn't talked to him. You know, but people throw, they name drop to try and get a little more clout with somebody else. That's basically what they're doing. They're name dropping. They have no relationship with Jesus. They've seen it done, and they're trying to do the same thing that they've seen others do. They thought that if they uttered the right prayers, the right names, and the right way, they would have power over the demons. You know, it's like if I were to go up to some other guy, and he's talking about, hey, I went out on a date with my wife. We had a great time, and man, it was just so much fun, just kind of rekindled the spark. And I'm like, hey, man, that's great. Let me write down, what'd you do? Where'd you go first? Oh, you went to the park. Okay, you went to the park. Hey, what'd you say to her while you were, okay, got that. And, you know, and then it's like I take Amanda out and I've got my little notebook and I'm like, hey, you know, it's not going to work, right? It doesn't work. We, you know, guys, we try and find shortcuts. That is not going to work. We want the mechanism, but God calls us to have a relationship. That's how it is with people and that's how it is with him. We're called to have a relationship with him. We don't want to try and find shortcuts to that. It's a relationship with Jesus that involves true faith and true following him. It's so much easier to say, hey, when you experience evil and hardships or you go through a difficult time, hey, you want that new job? Well, here's a prayer. You pray this 3 times and you'll get what you want. And usually it's something like, hey, well, give me $20 and I'll give you the prayer, right? You know, people try and sell things. You know, it's not what it is. Ritualistic practices are not what God wants. You may feel like, man, I'm coming to church. You know, I'm here. God, you need to bless me now. That's a mechanistic relationship. God calls you to worship him, to love him, to walk with him. Doesn't, through thick and thin. You don't do that just to get what you want. If you're doing that, you're using God. You're using him to get what you want. That's not what it means. We need to live in the fullness of what Jesus has done for us. We need to live in the reality of what he calls us to do and calls us to be. You don't need a shaman. You don't need an exorcist. You don't need a psychic. You don't need tarot cards or Ouija boards or whatever the latest trend is. You need to trust in him. You need to follow him. He's the one that has power over all things. That's what he calls us to. That's the kind of relationship he calls us to have. Colossians 1:13 reminds us of the power that Jesus has. It says, he, Jesus, has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That right there is a reminder that the power of evil is broken in Jesus. The power that Satan had over us, it's broken. Satan's power was death. It's broken. It's been defeated. We don't live in bondage to death. We don't live in bondage to darkness. We can escape the darkness by trusting in Jesus because he is greater. He's more powerful. We trust him. We follow him. We seek after him. And so true deliverance means that we turn to Jesus. We rest in him. You know, this passage, it shows us. It shows us what real faith looks like. Acts 19:18. It says, also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. That is a lot of money. There was a lot of witchcraft and other things going on in this city. And they come and they burn it. They left it all behind. Deliverance is through a relationship with Jesus. A lot of times we want shortcuts. You know, it can be similar. I was thinking about years ago, I had a person I knew went to the doctor and found out they had heart blockage. And the doctor gave them two options and said, you know what? There's two options here. We can do surgery, and it is very dangerous, highly risky, or you can do the second option, which is means you're going to have to diet, you're going to have to exercise, you're going to have to stop eating French fries and fast food and all this other stuff. You're going to have to change your lifestyle. And you know what he told them? When do you want to cut me open? It was much easier for him to say a few hours on a surgery table or me changing my lifestyle. I don't want to change my lifestyle. I want all the benefits of being healthy, but I want to live unhealthy. A lot of times that's what people want. We see here that this is what true repentance is. They're believing in Jesus. They're following him. And they're getting rid of all their stuff. All the stuff that they didn't need. All the stuff that it was probably at one time precious to them. They're just getting rid of it. I mean, look, this is expensive stuff. Look at the money that they got through selling this. They're confessing, they're divulging their practices, and they're burning it. They're getting rid of it. Something that they valued before, they're just saying, I don't need this. All I need is Jesus. I need a relationship with this Jesus that Paul teaches. This Jesus that he's been talking about, this Jesus that he's been proclaiming, that there's forgiveness of sins, that we can be set free from the power of darkness, that I can experience that. And the doorway to that is it's a relationship with this one who is the Lord and Savior of all. This is what true repentance looks like. This is what it truly looks like to turn to Jesus. It means you turn to him and you turn away from other things. You believe, you confess where you've diverged from his ways, and you give up all the things that are taking you away from him. That's what it looks like to put evil to death. To resist evil is doing that. You know, I was thinking about this and going back to me in Raleigh and waking up at night praying for deliverance, praying that whatever is going on would stop. You know, I was thinking about that, and I wish I could say that, you know, I prayed a prayer and Jesus allowed our house to sell, and it sold for four times the amount that we were hoping it would sell for, and all the other problems went away. But I felt like the way God answered that prayer is he helped me to let go of things that I didn't need. I was holding on so much to, well, I've got to get this for the house. If we get this, then we'll be set up to do these other things. And I just felt that the power in that was me wanting these things. And I just had to come to a place where I said, you know what? God, I could see how we could glorify you if we got these things the way I want it. But I don't care. I've got you. We've got you. That's all that matters. I'm willing to let it all go. You know, so what? If we go broke, if we all that we had invested in the house, if we don't get it, it's going to be okay. We've got you. That's what matters most. And be able to come to a place, and it was difficult, as difficult saying, even as I think about it. I don't want to minimize the difficulty in it, but there was something that was so incredibly liberating in that. We found peace. And having peace is greater than having money, right? Because we all know you can have money and not have peace. Having peace was far greater than the money, than all the other stuff. I think that's sometimes what it looks like to be delivered from some of those spiritual battles that we go through. We're willing to let them go. We come to a place where we just see what we have in Jesus is greater than anything else. And isn't that what happened with Job? After he lost everything, he could say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." He praised God. What he had with God was greater than all the other stuff. And so we need to see that as we encounter evil, as we live in a dark world, it's about trusting in Jesus and following him. You don't need a spell to cast demons out. You need to follow Jesus. You need to trust in him and rest in him. Find your peace in him and not turn to other things. You follow him. You do what he said. You know, I've talked to people that have been in the throes of a spiritual battle, and they're just not willing to let go of things. I remember years ago, actually when we first bought our house in Maryland, we got to know a neighbor. He was a professing believer and just in the throes of significant depression. And I remember the town we were in would have a firework display on the 4th of July, and we went to it, and I'm there, and we're sitting there talking, and I see his children, and we're talking, "Hey, how you doing?" And then I almost tripped over a guy sleeping on the ground. And I looked down, That's David. What is he doing? He was in the throes of depression, so that he just went over, sat down on the ground, and curled up in a ball and was trying to sleep. I mean, it was a significant spiritual battle. It was going on inside of him. I don't know if there's demonic oppression or other things like that, but it was real. And this guy just ignoring his kids and just in a ball, sleeping. As I talked with him, we built a relationship and we'd get together every so often, and we started talking about the struggles that he was going through, a lot of his struggles. And I think some of the struggles that we see, spiritual struggles, can take place in our mental health. Not every mental health is demonic possession, but there's always a spiritual element when we are going through those things. And this guy was a very gifted guy, but he felt like he deserved to be way further ahead than he was in life. And that's where a lot of times we see depression and things like that. It's pride. It's our pride has gotten the best of us. Our pride is just changing. It's coloring the way we see everything. Like we put on a pair of glasses, like put on red glasses, and it colors everything we see. That was going on with him. And he was in the throes of that. Depressed, angry, bitter. Sometimes those spiritual battles with pride. We deserve better. And one of the things was he didn't want to do the things that Jesus called him to do. There was resistance to that. He knew there were things that God was calling him to do, but he was pushing back on that. If you are resisting God, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have hardship. Maybe not every time, but just don't resist God and expect it to go well. How many people have I talked to that they're going through struggles and they're in the workplace? "Hey, I know I shouldn't lie, but what?" You should never say "but" anything. You should never say, "I know God calls me to do this, but. I know God calls me to tell me the truth, but. I know God calls me to love my coworkers, but." Do you know what this guy did? "I know God calls me to love my spouse, but." Well, we can have all those buts. Or maybe it's following Jesus. Maybe it's, "I know Jesus calls me to be committed to a church, but what? But follow him. Seek him." And you know Jesus calls you to share the gospel with others. We need to follow him. Faith is following. We see that here. James 4:7 says, "Submit to God, resist the devil." And you know what happens? Know the next part of that verse? Anybody? "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We resist him. We trust in Jesus. We follow him. When you are following Jesus, you are resisting the devil. He flees from you. He turns from that. Simply going back to trusting Jesus and following him. You know, just to round out the story with my friend, he went through years and years of that. And I hadn't talked to him in a while. Amanda talked to his wife recently and said that he's a different person now. And that that he came through that. And I just thought, praise God. But it was years of being stuck, years of just being angry. I think some of the ways that Satan gets a foothold, it's our pride. Pride. We think our way is better than God's. We think we can go against him and it's going to be okay. Or we just don't want to do the things that he calls us to. We have pride. Sometimes it's just being angry. We're bitter. Bitterness. It creeps in. It creeps in. It gets a little foothold and it starts to grow. Maybe you're bitter at how you've been treated. My friend was a bit bitter at how he'd been treated in life. Sometimes you can see that happen in relationships. Maybe it's with your spouse where you just start to harbor bitterness and it can grow and manifest itself. Anybody ever been there? Ever been there? I'm sure. Talk to anybody that's been married for a while and they'll talk about those things. Maybe it's with a friend, somebody else. You know, we just watched the Lord of the Rings, watched the trilogy. And there's such a great portrayal of sin in that, in the character. Remember him? Sméagol? Gollum? My precious, I mean, I didn't remember the name, but we got to my precious. I was like, oh man. You know, we can start to want things and desire that. And Sméagol is this, he was a hobbit, but his desire for this ring that was, I can't remember all the background of it, but the ring was like the presence of evil, right? Or it was the power, there's just all this evil. And so he's just desires this ring, and his desire for this ring, it transformed him from this lovable hobbit to this gross, grotesque creature with no hair and just walks around. And every time he sees the ring, he's, my precious. You know, he wants it. Sometimes we can want things so bad, we're willing to destroy things to get it. We see that there is a spiritual element to those things. And Satan can get in there and just put his knife and just twist it, right? Just turn it so it just exasperates the pain. Those are spiritual attacks. We need to trust in the Lord. You know, I talked about sometimes I don't know if I'm going through just a battle of the flesh, and this is just me and my flesh wanting something so bad, or if I'm under demonic attack. It's hard for me to tell the difference. But we know that whether it's the flesh or it's Satan, both of those are going to take us away from what God wants, right? Both of those are going to take us out of God's will, out of his plan. It's going to take us out of his word. We also know the converse is true. If I'm following God, if I'm turning to him, following him, praying, there's power in that. I'm turning from evil. And so we know the problem, it's always the same, taking us away from God. We know the solution is the same. Turning to Jesus, trusting in him, following him. That's what we're called to do. And there's power when we turn to Jesus. There's power when we trust in him. There's power in a relationship with him. Look, I realize I'm speaking to a church today. There may not be many Satanists in the building today. I don't want to assume there's not. Maybe you've dabbled in things. Maybe you've been dabbling in it. Maybe you're experiencing with, I don't know. But probably generally, I think most would say in a church, it may not be that there's many Wiccans or Satanists or things like that. But one of the things in reading this, I thought, you know, I'm probably just as concerned that we have itinerant Christians living without the power of God in their lives. When we turn away from God, when we turn away from his plan, we're taking ourselves out of the power that he has for us. When we're not looking to Jesus as the all-sufficient Savior, we're experiencing a lack of power in our lives. Now, not to minimize the other things, you know, if you've given yourself to those, you need to repent and trust in Jesus. And again, it's not a magic formula. It's believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, following him. But I also want to stir all of us up. Are we trusting in Jesus as though he is the source? He is the power to overcome all the evil that's in the world. Or are we going to just kind of trusting in him as, you know, I got something out of a box of Cracker Jacks, or I broke open this fortune cookie and this is what it said. You know, are we trusting in Jesus like those things? Just there's not a lot of faith. There's not a lot of confidence. Because when we see the Jesus of the Bible, we see that there is power in his name. And it's amazing. There's power in his name. You see it here. Mention Jesus' name in public, there is always a reaction, right? We know there's power in his name. We know there's power when we turn to him and pray to him. Are we living like that? Are we living like he is the all-sufficient, all-powerful Savior of the world, the deliverer of all things. As we see the evils that are in the world, and man, we see so many different evils that we encounter. Evils of lying, manipulating, evils of racism, evils of taking advantage of people, child prostitution, all these. We know evil is at work in the world. And we know the solution is to call these people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the solution. That's what we see here. We need to be reminded of that. Evil is real. You may encounter it. Some of the people that you are around may have experienced things like this. We don't want to shy away from talking about it. Maybe we ask people, you know, what's your spiritual background? Maybe they're going through hardships. Maybe we ask them those things. Those are questions we want to ask, and we don't want to shy away from it because we know Jesus is greater than anything that they have. We want to proclaim that in words and by our actions as well. We know Jesus is greater than evil. So as we talk about evil, we can acknowledge it in the world. You know, we don't want to hide from it, but we don't want to go running to it because we know it's real. It can have a power. You know, I was thinking about it. It's kind of like, I don't know, this may be a bit crude, but I was thinking it's kind of like dog mess. I was thinking about dog mess in the backyard. You know, I don't live in fear of the dog mess in the backyard, but I don't want to seek it out, right? I don't want to like go after it and find it. And you know it's there. And you know, I know if I walk around the corner of my backyard, I'm going to find it. I just try and avoid that part. You know, as we talk to people that may be experiencing these things, we don't want to hide. We don't want to cower. But we don't want to go into it like we've got to know all the ins and outs of it. We know Jesus. We know there's power in him. We see Paul proclaiming the name of Jesus, and we see them being deliverance. You know, just another person I knew that had probably some of the most significant bipolar issues that I've ever met. And I remember talking to him, and he had just trusted in Jesus probably a few months before that. And as we were talking, and he had a lot of things that he was coming out of, I remember him telling me, he said, I didn't have any mental health issues, but a couple years ago, I was getting into some stuff I knew I shouldn't get into, and that led me to getting into Satanism. And I was talking with somebody else who was in this, and they said, you know what, if you just come and if you end up getting into that, there's no telling what can happen to you. And he said he was just in a rebellious place, and he said when his friend told him that, he said, fine, it's on. And he said, I just said right there, Satan, come and have your way with me. And he went through a period of intense darkness, attempted suicide, a lot of other things. And as he was coming through that, he said, my health started to change when I trusted in Jesus. There was a power, there was a darkness that I just can't explain. And when I was in that, I knew it, and I knew it was wrong, and I knew it was ravishing me. And he said, when I trusted in Jesus, there was a huge break. But he also said, he's like, I feel like damage has been done to my body. He's like, I knew some people that cut themselves and they still bear the marks of that in their body. He said, for me, I think it was something mentally happened to me. He's like, I'm better now, but I don't know if I'll ever be the same. There was a reality that there was evil in that, but he would also testify that there was power in the name of Jesus, that he could call on Jesus in those times. And he said, it would change. He said he had moments of spiritual attack, and he knew what it was. He knew from previous experience what was happening, and he could call in the name of Jesus. He could read the Word of God and know that there was a spiritual victory that was happening in that. Church, we have the same battle. You may not experience that. You know, there's two problems people have with evil. Either we attribute everything to it, or we attribute what? Nothing at all. Scripture tells us that there is evil that is present, that is at work in the world. But it also tells us that the solution to it is through the Son of God, through the Savior of the world. We want to trust in Him, rest in Him, seek Him, follow Him. We don't need magic formulas. It's a relationship with Jesus, which is what the Word of God calls us to have. So I want to take a moment, and I want to pray. Again, I don't have a lot of experience with demonic and things like that. But I want to give us time. Based on this passage right here, we saw that many believers came confessing and divulging their practices. A number of those who'd practiced magic arts brought their books together, burned them in the sight of all. I don't know how else to end this message other than having a moment to pray, to confess sin. And I just want to invite you, if you have maybe dabbled in those things, maybe recently, maybe in the past, but you just want to lay those things down. Here, they brought them together. They left them there, and they turned and went the other way. That's what repentance is. I just want to have a time to do that and just a time for all of us to search our hearts. Maybe you need to search your hearts where you're just not trusting in Jesus the way you should. Maybe you need to follow him afresh, but let's just take time and pray. Jesus, we thank you for the power that is in your name. We thank you for your life, your death, your resurrection, and how you went into the bowels of death and came out victorious. And that shows us that you have power over all things. And God, I just pray that we would be a people that we are following you, that we are walking in the fullness of what you have secured for us. We're walking in the freedom and the power of the gospel. And God, we pray that right now. And God, I just pray maybe those that have been encumbered with this, just pray that they would be set free. Pray for those that maybe they haven't trusted you fully like they should, that they would trust in you now. And we pray this, God. I just want to pray for those that maybe you just identify with. You have given yourselves to these things in the past, and you just want a clean break from those. I want to ask you, I want to pray for you. You can raise your hand, or if you want to come down front, you can do that, but just, if there's anybody that has dealt with that, I want to pray for you now. Just, you can raise your hand. That's good. Just want to pray also, if you just identify with just not walking in the fullness of what Jesus has secured for you. Maybe you've been depressed and scared at the challenges. Your challenges have seemed greater than Jesus. I want to take a moment and pray for you. You just lift your hand just so we can pray for you. Well, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the hope that is in Jesus. Thank you that in him we can be set free. Thank you that as we gather as a church, we're gathering with others who have experienced that victory, that they've tasted of it and experienced it and are living in the fullness of it. And God, I just pray that you would send us out to others that are in bondage, to those who are in darkness, and help us to proclaim good news, just like Paul did, that there is good news, that there is salvation in Jesus. And God, I just pray for, I just believe some of us, we have friends that are in that place, a place of darkness. Just pray that you would use us to help minister to them, just like Paul was ministering, that we'd see people restored to fullness in Jesus, that we'd see people restored to their right minds, we'd see people's health restored. We just pray that you would work in our community. As we go out into the world, we know evil is real. There is hatred all around it. God, help us to point people to you. Help us to point people to your word. Help us to make you great. We want to magnify the name of Jesus in all that we do and all that we say. And God, we pray that you would put us in the path of those who need that deliverance, and help us to proclaim it, help us to sing it, help us to be faithful to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.